Coming up on today's show.
I said, Mary, tell me my name. Numbers would come back. And then I said, your daughter's name, Numbers. Mary, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. She recited it perfectly. The only thing that she could remember at that point in time clearly was the rosary.
Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net. At the top of the website, there are links to Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram, so you can engage with me and the show that way. Look for those logos, those links there for whichever platform or platforms plural you enjoy using. A reminder, too, about the Catholic Sports Radio community. That is the Facebook group, which is free to join and which you can also find a link for on CatholicSportsRadio.net. Remember also that any and all of those do give you the opportunity to contact me, as does traditional email, which you can do through Bruce@CatholicSportsRadio.net. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. In baseball, a pitcher might be surprised when he gets taken out of a game because the manager makes the decision to bring in a reliever from the bullpen, meaning it's not always a case of the guy being pulled having been pitching poorly up until that point. Similarly, in hockey, a goaltender might get taken out of the game just because the team needs a spark and the coach feels it might shake up the players. Heck, even a star basketball player can get taken out of a game and sit in wonder as he takes his place on the bench and watches his replacement go out onto the court. As Christians, if we do some self-reflection and can be honest with ourselves, we recognize that there are times when we wander, searching for something that will satisfy us, a lot of times confused, and looking everywhere but up to our Heavenly Father. The Old Testament reminds us that He is always there for us, as described in Isaiah 65, verses 1 and 2, which say, quote, I was ready to respond to those who did not ask, to be found by those who did not seek me. I said, here I am, to a nation that did not invoke my name. I have stretched out my hands all day to a rebellious people who walk in a way that is not good, following their own designs. End quote. Friends, it should never be a surprise or a second thought that our Almighty Father is the plan, and thus the source of where we should turn to ease us when we feel unsettled. Let us pray for the intercession of the Holy Spirit so that we may look to Him at all times in all things. Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest holds the NAIA baseball career batting average record with a .480 career average while in college. He had played basketball and baseball for 4 years in high school before going on to play baseball at both Creighton University and St. Mary of the Plains College. After graduation, he was a graduate assistant at Fort Hays State University and then a head assistant baseball coach at St. Mary of the Plains College. In addition to playing and coaching collegiate baseball, he officiated high school football, basketball, and baseball, and college baseball and basketball. He also served on the executive committee for his local youth baseball league for 10 years and started a nonprofit organization to support the Travel High School basketball team. His faith initiatives are just as extensive, if not more so, than all he has done with sports, including having been president of Ave Maria University, plus having a new book out that draws heavily from incorporating his Catholic faith into the business world and having gone through a major life tragedy. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Chris Ice.
It's great to be here, Bruce.
Great to have you, Chris. You and I had a laugh on the telephone recently talking about the area code for your cell phone number versus where you live right now versus where you used to live at one point that I figured you'd have a phone number from. But take us all the way back to the beginning. Where were you born and raised, and how many of you were there in the household?
Oh, very good. I was born and raised in Lawrence, Kansas. I have three older brothers and a younger sister, and my mother still lives in the same home that I grew up in.
Wow. Wow. So tell us about your early Catholic formation, both at church as well as education-wise.
I would say we were a typical Catholic family. My parents made sure we got to church every Sunday, and it didn't matter if we were on a baseball travel trip or whatever. We always found a way to find a Mass on Sunday.
Mm.
But even more importantly, when I was age seven, my grandmother used to stop by and pick me up every day to take me to Mass to serve for a local Irish pastor, because at that time in the early 70s, there were not a lot of altar servers available. They were starting to wander away, if you will. And I went to Catholic schools all the way through, you know, take out 2 years of seventh and eighth grade, Catholic school formation all the way through to the point I got my MBA.
Wow. Wow. I mentioned in the intro that you played high school baseball and basketball for 4 years and then went on to play college baseball. Since you were always attending Catholic schools, as we just heard, is it safe to, bad word, assume that you always stayed strong in your faith? Because let's face it, in those teenage and young adult years, our ego tends to want to have a say more often than not. And when you're succeeding in sports the way that you were, my guess is that you might have been tempted to talk about what you were doing sports-wise way more than you'd want to share the good news of Christ.
You know, that is funny you mentioned that. I was forced a little bit to talk about my faith all the time because in the high school years, I was in the high school seminary in Belleville, Illinois. And with those formative years, it was a conversation of with all my friends and peers, especially when I played summer baseball, of, are you going to be a priest? And, of course, as a young high school kid, you're still trying to figure that out. I was home over the summers, where I was referring to. And so as I was doing that, it just kind of became a natural part of my everyday speaking to people, where I realized that people were noticing and I needed to make sure I was a witness to others, especially in my Catholic faith, not just my Christian walk, but my Catholic faith. I felt compelled to do that. That carried through to my college career as well, where I still went to, even though I was no longer in seminary formation, I still went to Mass frequently, almost every day if I could. And, you know, when we were on the road, many times, you know, you do have those temptations, as you referred to, where guys are going out, you know, late at night and doing some of those other things that people shouldn't be doing. And I spent, you know, quite a few nights in my room alone, which was okay because I was working on continuing to be that formative person. But I think that ultimately led to how I developed my leadership skills early, you know, starting with my seven-year-old formation all the way, and then that obviously led into all of my career and everything else. So,
okay, if this were a video podcast, the audience would see I'm raising my hand. I have a question. I'm not embarrassed to admit that I guess I'm inclined to ask you, I'm a little confused when you say that it was a seminary high school. To me, if someone says that, I'm thinking, well, you were going to be a priest. So is there such a thing as attending and not having any intention of going on to the priesthood? I'm kind of confused by you referring to it as seminary high school.
Yeah, fair enough. And actually, yes, I did go there with the intention of, you know, the being a priest or considering that.
Wow.
But that was with the Oblates of Mary Immaculate in Belleville, Illinois. And with that, at the end of my first semester of my sophomore year, I went to my spiritual director and I just said, I don't think this is for me. And he said, well, you know what? You're not harming anything. You're certainly not a distraction here. If you want to continue to discern here, continue to attend, you know, you're still welcome here. And because I love the high school, I love there's a boarding school. And so I continued on with the idea that, okay, it's a possibility, but I did feel strongly. And by the end of my junior year, I went back and I said, I just don't feel like this is for me. And they said, well, finish out your senior year. And that's how it went. So those years are great formative. I also had a great spiritual director that helped me through that. So,
And I want to put on the record, because I think I got caught up in the moment in the conversation and or there wasn't really a appropriate place to slip it in. But I'm pretty sure that it was last week when Joe Mack mentioned that his father had gone to the seminary and was considering pursuing the priesthood. And he said how grateful he was that that didn't take place. He said, otherwise we might not be having this conversation. And in my head, I thought, no, not we might not, we would not. And my point being that I felt like saying to him, I can relate, Joe, because my dad went to the seminary when he was young. And I have often thought the same thing, that if my dad had not walked away from the seminary and met my mom and had all of us, then I don't want to say Catholic Sports Radio wouldn't exist. Somebody else may have come up with the idea, but I digress. There's something that you said in there, Chris, that I want to go back to, because once you finished college and started into positions like graduate assistant at Fort Hays State University and then head assistant baseball coach at St. Mary of the Plains College, did you start to mature a little more and view sports as an opportunity to be in service to the game and to the players and coaches rather than what can I gain from being a great athlete, kind of in a conceited way? And maybe the officiating you did helped with that perspective too, by the way. Am I onto something here?
Yes, you are. I wanted to give back to the game that I had loved and grown up with my whole life. One of the ways was it resonated with me when you talk about officiating. We need help. We need good people that understand the game and can do this, you know, want to be a part of it, because we can't play the game without officials. It's kind of the same thing with coaching. I wanted to give back everything that I had learned from my baseball years to others. And what I really loved in both of those scenarios was watching others succeed. So I just wanted to share all the things that I had learned, and I love the analytical side of things, especially in coaching, breaking down in baseball a player's swing, a player, how they're, all the different facets of fielding or even pitching in that respect. Although I wasn't my pitching coach, it was still, I would still talk to the pitchers about some of those items. But anyway, that was what I really loved. And when I saw people excel, I got even more enjoyment out of that. And then, of course, sharing my faith along with all of that just really kind of felt natural. Mm. So officiating is a little different. You don't really get a chance to really share your faith in the heat of a moment when a coach is yelling at you on the sidelines and you give him a technical. But but afterwards, when they call you and say, I really deserve that tee and I want to apologize, then you had a good formative moment.
You look at the coach and say, I'm going to pray for you that you can keep that temper under control in future games.
One of the things I told coaches always, usually at the beginning, but if I had the opportunity, I would tell them and say, I don't have a quick trigger, but what I will say will draw me. You can say my call stinks, and I maybe use a different word. But if you say you stink, that's the line that draws a tease. When you get personal, then it becomes a little bit different. So anyway.
Yeah. Chris, you have just a heart-wrenching story to tell that we will get to shortly. I guess this is me giving the audience a chance to grab a box of tissues. But first, just to stick with sports a little bit longer,
sure.
You have done a spiritual retreat with Catholic Athletes for Christ, and you've been a guest speaker for them. So clearly, and as you just started to mention, you have been a witness to how our faith lives and our sports lives can go together.
Yes, it can be very lonely at times, especially, I was never a top-tier athlete as a Major League Baseball player, for example. But they're under the similar temptations whenever you're in, I'm going to say those crowds. I don't know if that's the right terminology. But when you're in a group of guys and you're on the road and, everybody's away from girlfriends or their spouses or however, And there's temptations that get thrown at athletes, especially the top tier athletes. And so speaking to them about, drawing on your Catholic faith and the grace that comes from the sacraments and making those good choices. Maybe it's, making a sacrifice by praying the rosary, in your room, or go visiting the Adoration Chapel, or just the Blessed Sacrament in the Catholic Church, trying to get up early and go to daily Mass if you have that opportunity. All those things can help you focus on what's extremely important and keep you out of those other temptations, which might be when they go to, quote, you know, the gentlemen's clubs. I hate that term, unquote. But anyway, it's just a matter of those things. And then I think they become strengthened in their resolve as they go forward to not do that. And then others are drawn to that. They're wondering why you have joy as an athlete and they're struggling.
Wow.
And that joy personifies into the explanation when they're drawn to that and they say, what is it? What is it? And I'll say, let me share it with you.
Wow. Wow.
Here it is. You want to go to Mass with me in the morning?
Mm.
let's talk about it. So.
Wow. That's powerful stuff. And I know that it's about to get even more intense. Folks, consider yourselves warned. Chris, unfortunately, has some really powerful testimony that I'm going to have him share with us now. But this is also quite emotional. So I was not kidding when I said to get some tissues standing by. Meanwhile, on last week's episode, I had mentioned about the Signal Awards and how I would not be submitting Catholic Sports Radio for consideration because of the entry fee, which was $225. And since then, I have seen that the 18th annual People's Choice Podcast Awards are now accepting nominations until July 31st. However, they are charging $50 to enter. The point here is that Catholic Sports Radio truly is a ministry for me, and I'm just one person doing all this myself. So no staff, no interns, no volunteers, and more importantly, no sponsors. I don't get any income from doing this show, and so for any and all expenses, I have to try to find a way out of my own pocket to try to cover them. That's why it has been such a huge help when I've had guests and listeners who have made a financial gift to this show. On past episodes, you've heard me not only mention specific individuals who have done that, but exact costs of various expenses that have come my way in operating Catholic Sports Radio for well over 4 years now. I pray that this show is really meaningful to you, that your faith life is being impacted by the work that I do and the guests that I bring on to share their testimony with you. If you believe in the work that I'm doing and would like to show your support, there is a blue Donate to CSR button on the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net that is fast, easy, and secure and allows you to give whatever amount you're most comfortable with, meaning you type it in yourself. You don't choose from a predetermined drop-down list. Alternatively, as some have done instead, you can get in touch with me via social media or email bruce@CatholicSportsRadio.net. And either way, I will write you back with details on sending a check through the mail. As a thank you to anyone who contributes, regardless of the amount, I will happily say, with permission, your name on an upcoming episode, as you've heard me do in the past, for guests and listeners who have made a gift to my ministry. Or as some have asked me to do, you can choose to remain anonymous, in which case I will just give a generic on-air thank you without naming names. Your support of my work really means a lot to me. I'm grateful for you listening and for considering Catholic Sports Radio as part of your tithing. Chris, in the first half of the show, we talked a lot about sports, but as long a list of examples as there are of your devotion to and involvement with your Catholic faith, there's probably none more powerful than your testimony that I'd like you to share now of how you leaned on your faith right around the time that you'd taken the role of president of Ave Maria University.
Yes. So in January of 2020, Bruce, I was hired to become the new president of Ave Maria University. And many of us recall within, you know, a month of that presidency, a global pandemic came about in the form of the COVID-19. And so I was in the midst of the fire a little bit. I also had a field house that had been condemned or was in the process of being condemned, I should say.
Hmm.
And so all of a sudden now I had that pressure with a global pandemic. And so then, you know, if you recall all the things that were coming and hitting everybody in the month of March, you know, schools were closing or not closing and just trying to make those decisions. And every day was seemingly different or there were people wanting to make decisions. So once most of the schools closed, by the way, I did not close Ave Maria University. I kept it open during the pandemic. I gave kids the choice or students the choice to go home and study virtually, but I also kept the classrooms open for those who wanted to stay. And so as we continued to navigate through all of those, my spouse at the time, we were family still living in Kansas City, and I was commuting. And she made the comment. She said, well, the high school, Catholic high school is closed here in Kansas City. Our son's baseball season's over. How about if we just move the family now? They can do it virtually from Florida as easily as Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, okay. So we got the moving van. We got the house, you know, put up for sale. And on Easter Sunday morning, we landed in Ave Maria with the family. And at that time, I was still having Mass every day at the university.
Mm.
And so we got up early Sunday morning. We made it to Easter Sunday Mass on the lawn, if you will. It was outdoors because we couldn't go indoors. but nonetheless, through that, my wife was stating that she was not feeling well. And she'd been through about a 4 or 5 year battle with cancer, but it was in, you know, she was cancer free for all that we knew. And, but she wasn't feeling well. So we, on that Tuesday after Easter, I took her to the doctor and he prescribed some things, sent her home, still wasn't feeling well. We went back actually to the ER. At that point in time, this is really interesting, Bruce, and I'll share this with your listeners, but I was sitting in the ER with her. I was able to sneak in, if you will. My doctor got me in, and I'm sitting there beside her, and she starts saying things to me where she was incoherent.
Mm.
Like, for example, I asked her her name, and she told me, what is my name, I should say, and she repeated a series of numbers to me, like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5,
mm.
and I'd say, No, tell me again, what's your daughter's name? What's your mom's name? It was always a series of numbers.
Mm.
And so I was like, this is strange. So I started, there's no doctors around. So I started praying the rosary and I started praying it out loud. And as I was praying, she started reciting the rosary with me perfectly.
Mm.
And then I noticed this and I said, okay, her name is Mary. I said, Mary, tell me my name. Numbers would come back.
Mm.
And then I said, your daughter's name. Numbers. Mary, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. She recited it perfectly.
Wow.
The only thing that she could remember at that point in time clearly was the rosary. Mm. And then I let her lead a decade, and she led it perfectly.
Mm.
Ten Hail Marys.
Wow.
So anyway, so I shared that with the doctors. Of course, they immediately jump into action once they realize that there's something not right. So after a series of tests over the next week, we come and find out that she has cancer is now metastasized from breast cancer to her brain.
Mm.
They jump her into surgery to put, you know, a port in her head for the cancer treatment. And she never came out of consciousness after that. And within 2 days, she passed. So from a period of Easter Sunday to 2 weeks later, in a move to a town, new town, a new job, I got 4 kids at home still. I have 7 total. Here's my wife has passed in the middle of a global pandemic. So now there were so many things that I look back on during that time. And people kept asking me, Chris, how did you do it? What led you through or able to do all that in that cloud of darkness? And it took me a while, Bruce, to really fully realize. At the time, I said, I don't know. But as I took more time away from her death and began to see things more clearly, I saw where God's guiding hand throughout the whole thing, the vision of how to move forward, what to do. It was pure grace. And God's gift back to me to endure was my faith. And that's what I relied on. That was a strength. I didn't quit going to Mass. I didn't quit praying the rosary. And I didn't quit going to adoration. I was going to adoration more, actually, to provide guidance. So anyway, with all of that, you know, it brought me through, you know, after her death and all that. She was a young 54 years old.
Mm.
And, you know, she never unpacked a box in her home. And so the task of having all your kids, I'm laughing a little bit just so I don't cry. But anyway, I was, you know, seeing my kids living in the midst of all of this and slowly just unpacking. The Ave Maria town itself, the community was phenomenal, you know, jumping in and helping out. And the students were just off the charts as well. But it was a very, very trying moment. So, but praise God for my Catholic faith. It helped me endure.
Yeah, amen. And I'm having a little trouble with this one myself, folks. should have had some tissue standing by for me and not just telling the audience to do the same. Do I understand correctly, Chris, that on top of everything that you just described, I thought I saw something that said that you and your wife had 10 children and 3 of them were in heaven. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes. So we had 2 miscarriages early. In between our 6th child, who's my daughter, and our last child, who was my daughter. And then after her, there was a young boy that he was 7.5 months in utero and was born, stillborn. Mm. And that was 2013. So, yes, so 10 total. And, yeah, thank you for doing that. Many times as Catholics, we don't always recognize that. And I have many times because they're all alive, no matter what. So. And my children. I just have 3 in heaven. They got a head start. I said, that's not really fair. They got to heaven early. At least in my baptism by desire.
But so that means that everything that you described with your wife going through what we heard, that means that regardless of their age, you had 7 children that you still had to be a father to while all this was happening with their mother. Am I right?
That is correct. Yes. Yeah. Wow. And 4 more still living at home.
Wow.
Yes. So,
wow.
Yes, and that was, you know, and then still, you know, Bruce, on top of it, running the university, I mean, it didn't stop. There was a, the Tuesday, well, we buried, well, we shouldn't say we buried, we had my wife's funeral on a Monday, April 30th. This is interesting too, Bruce, how she died on the vigil of the Feast of St. Joseph the Worker. She died within the vigil of, you know, the first Friday. She died within the vigil of the first Saturday. In some respects, May 2nd was a Saturday. She had all those devotions. The first Friday devotions, the first Saturday devotions. And so I'm thinking, wow. And then we have her funeral on a Monday following. And on Tuesday, I go into my office just to kind of get my thoughts together briefly, because I was supposed to do a commencement talk on Wednesday to prepare for graduation. We were doing it virtually. So I got in the office about 9 and my provost came in about 10 o'clock and he said, how's the commencement speech coming? And I said, I got it in my head. It should be good. And he said, good, we'll see you in an hour. And I said, an hour? What are you talking about? And he goes, well, the videotaping starts at 11 o'clock.
Oh boy.
I thought it was the next day.
Wow.
I sprung into action. I wrote it in 30 minutes. I walked in. I did it on the video. First commencement speech in my life as a president, I should say. And all of a sudden, I look back and I go, how did I do that? And it was purely the Holy Spirit and God's grace.
Amen.
And
it,
I had so many people refer back, wow, that was one of the most powerful speeches I've ever heard.
Fantastic.
And so anyway, I don't have a lot of memory of it. I had a picture standing there, but that's about the extent.
Wow.
So, well, God's grace prevailed.
Fast forward, and I mentioned in the intro that you recently put out a book. At first glance, the title might appear as though it's 100% a business book, but you're here to say that in that book, you are actually encouraging people to grab a hold of their faith in their business.
That is the draw. That's exactly right. So my hope is that Christian leaders and obviously Catholic leaders will read it, but there's also those that may be afraid to step out in faith. But this book, Walking the Leadership Tightrope, How to Balance Career and Family Through the Chaos of Crisis, will hopefully lead some of those into the whole idea of, wow, this is a great leadership book potentially, but I'm struggling with my career and family balance. And then they read it. And Bruce, I've already had one person, and that's all it took for me to realize this book is worth it. One person contact me and state, Chris, in all my years of travel, on the road, vacation, I have never gone to Sunday Mass while I was on the road. I went to Sunday Mass this Sunday because of your book. That was about a month ago.
Fantastic.
And to me, that's worth everything.
Yeah.
You know, somebody read that I was, because my faith has been integral in everything I've done my whole life. I never set it aside. I've never missed Sunday Mass. When I'm on the road, I go to the holy days, you know, holy days of obligation, all of that. And I was always inviting people. And it usually, if I had ever 5 go with me, I was fortunate. Usually it was one other, maybe. always I went by my, if I went, I went by myself. So.
And folks, I'm going to put a link on the show page for this episode on CatholicSportsRadio.net to Chris's book so that you can look further into what he has written. I'm telling you, Chris really does have a list longer than we have time to cover of all that he has done to live out his Catholic faith. One entry that jumps out at me, Chris, is that you hosted pilgrimages to Austria twice, as well as Poland and Italy. What were those all about?
Well, there was a, when I was at Franciscan University, I was doing a few things. I was helping them develop their major gift division one. I was an adjunct professor and I was finished, well, I finished my MBA first and then became an adjunct professor. With that, one of the things that they did is they had parents trips to visit their children who were studying abroad in Austria. And so there was that component where I would host trips of parents to Austria, and we would visit into different sites of Austria, holy sites in Austria.
Mm-hmm.
Poland was a pilgrimage in and of itself, with he was not then, but he is now the president of Franciscan, which is Father Dave Pavanka. And so I was the host behind the scenes while he was leading the pilgrimage. So, you know, helping corral people and all that.
I see.
So that was another one. And in Italy, I was the CEO of Catholic Charities at the time, along with my Bishop of Kansas City, Bishop James Johnston. We led a pilgrimage to Italy because my late wife said she always wanted to go to Rome. And so in the fall of 19, shortly before her last battle of cancer, she got that one of her dying wishes, if you will, not known to her.
Yeah.
Maybe we went to Rome, Assisi, Venice, and Florence. So.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Earlier in our conversation, I asked you about Catholic Athletes for Christ, but there is a long list of other organizations that you have spoken to, Legatus, Young Catholic Professionals, Catholic Family Land, the list goes on. I think I already know the answer, but again, I don't like to assume. So what is the key message that you deliver to these different audiences?
The message is clear, that resonates in all these groups, is my faith walk and journey through all of my, you know, challenges. I can't say as if I had, you know, you always have challenges through your life. But when your loved one or your close relative experiences a terminal illness, as if like my late wife, you really find out how strong your faith is.
Mm.
You know, so it was never my intent to ever question God, why me? I never did that.
Mm.
I just said, God, show me the path. You know, give me the vision. It's cloudy right now, and I'm trying to navigate all these things. That's the message that I give, is that, you know, integrating your Catholic faith, it doesn't have to sit on a shelf when you walk into your office of your business. It doesn't have to sit on a shelf when you go out and you're having a nice dinner with friends. It should be an integral part of your life every day. When I'm talking to friends, I don't care if they're Protestant, atheist, or whatever, I never shy away from my Catholic faith or discussion. Now, it may depend on how deep I go, you know, with their faith walk or how interested they might be. I don't necessarily throw it all at them with a theological perspective. Sometimes it's just about allowing them to investigate, as I said before, what's the joy? What's the joy that you have? And that's when I get that opportunity to express. So.
Yeah, and folks, we didn't say it, but I don't know if you're able to kind of put two and two together, but as we get ready to close here, Chris did actually walk away from the Ave Maria University job because he realized that he needed to be with his family. And so if you're a regular listener of this show, you know that I usually close by asking the guest to talk about their spouse and how long they've been married and the children that they have. No guest ever tells me before I hit the record button, don't ask me about my kids. Any parent would probably love to have the entire interview be about their kids. So, Chris, tell us about your kids in terms of living their Catholic faith, maybe any sports participation, possibly grandchildren that they've given you.
Yes, seven kids. I have the oldest is 33. The youngest is 14, four girls and three boys. I do have two grandchildren with a third one on the way, praise God, my oldest daughter. So they live kind of all over the country, which is, you know, when I was in my corporate days and corporate world, I called my kids the corporate gypsies because they had to move a lot. So, in the military, you might call them corporate brats, which is an endearing term to those in the military. But But anyway, but they are a blessing to me. Every one of them, praise God, is still practicing their Catholic faith, and I continue to pray for them every day. And they, you know, they all struggle in their own ways with grief. One of the things I've done is help launch a ministry for widowers, men who have lost their spouses. Mm. It's called Growth Through Grief. And it's just a ministry of support and articles that the founder has put together. I serve on the board. But nonetheless, that's a just little things that we can do to try to help those are, you know, those experiences that we have. So anyway, but I will say, you know, your faith gets put to the test. And when you know, that's when I made that decision to resign from Ave Maria University. I just said, you know what, my kids are grieving greatly. They need me more than the university. It's time for me to step away, which I did, and ultimately in November of 21.
Chris, wonderful to have you on the show. Thank you for sharing such powerful testimony with us. Really appreciate it. Prayers for the grandchild to be. And again, really grateful that you made time to be on Catholic Sports Radio.
Well, thank you for having me, Bruce. It's such a pleasure, and I am so thankful that you asked me to share my story.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Folks, as a nod to, I'm still impressed. I'm sorry, Chris, but I'm still impressed by the NAIA career batting average leader. So we're going to close this week's episode with a prayer for athletes, and we will do it together in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, God, for giving me life and talents for my participation in sports. Help me to play well, to use my powers to the full, to see them as gifts from you. Be with me when I need to play hurt, when I have to deal with the pain of injury, disappointment, loss. Keep me aware of the brotherhood, the sisterhood that I have with all athletes, even when they are opponents. Free me from the temptation to fake, to foul, to cheat. I need to see that dedication to the cause will mean suffering, but let me know that it is the kind of suffering that leads to new life and greater maturity. Help me play with heart and never lose heart. Most of all, help me never to quit in my efforts to be open to you, for I believe your full coming into my life is the way to real life in all I do. I believe it is the way of my becoming the truly human person you destined me to be. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.